for the opportunity to be able to stand tonight and open God's Word. It's infallible. It's without error completely. It's perfect. And I'm telling you, you can stand on the Word of God. And I promise you that it's a solid foundation. I don't know how many times I've gone to bed at night, sometimes troubled, and just grabbed the Word of God, just hold it. And I learned a long time ago some of my favorite verses of Scripture. It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him. And he might, Noah missed it, he shall direct thy path. David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Well, I'm glad for the Word of God tonight. And I want to thank our pastor and Sister Linda, the church, for allowing us to go to the marriage retreat. We had a wonderful time, studied around the Word of God, and I learned a lot of secrets about some of the people we worship with. But I guess some of them are not too secret now. And boy, I'm going to hound some of you about it. I'll do it. I'll do it quietly, but I'm going to do it. I'm just that way. I get a burr under my saddle sometimes, and I get a little. I'm not as bad as Barry. Not as mean as Barry is. But I'll get around to it sometime. It's good to be here. It's good to be able to laugh and have a good time. And clean. And you know something? Nobody had to get drunk, didn't have to smoke no dope to laugh. It was good, clean fun. And I thank God for it. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14 tonight. Exodus chapter number 14. I'm going to read a couple of, maybe two or three verses tonight. Man, I enjoyed that singing tonight, the special song that our young sister sang at Bless My Heart. Amen. I'm glad I got a shield tonight. Begin reading tonight in verse number 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pelcherah before Bel Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Let's go ahead and read verse number 11. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for your precious word tonight. I thank you for the message that you sent us this morning. Lord, we're hungry for you. And Lord, I'll be the first to readily confess that without you I can do nothing. And Lord, I'm like the preacher, I want to finish my course. And I want to finish it well. I'm depending on you tonight, Lord, to give us what we have need of. Speak to our hearts, anoint me with the Holy Ghost, and use me, Lord, to try to be a help and a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Preacher Lawson mentioned it just a moment ago, and I'm going to touch on it, but I'm not going to go in entire detail. of what the choir sang. And the children of Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. And the Lord God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter number 15 and told him that his seed would go into a strange country and that they would serve them there and be afflicted. And when they come out, that they would be prosperous. And that's fulfillment here in our message tonight. And I just want to go back just a little bit. As we said, Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years and they had served under Pharaoh. In the book of Genesis chapter number 50, the Bible said this: God had preserved the Israelites through Joseph. And Joseph had become second in command, if you please. And God used Joseph to preserve the Israelites in feeding it in the time of famine. There come a day that the Bible said that Joseph died in Genesis chapter number 50, and that he was embalmed and put in a coffin in Egypt. But before he died, he made them swear unto him, the preacher mentioned this morning, not to bury him there, but to take him up when they left that land, because Egypt was not his home. Egypt was not where the Israelites were promised a land to be given. And so God called Moses to be a deliverer unto the nation of Israel. Because after Joseph had passed away, the Bible said that there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And so they brought much trouble and much heartache. And the Bible said that Israel served with rigor. It was with bitterness. They became slaves. And listen, friend, I'm going to say tonight that the children of God, we tonight that are saved by the grace of God, we don't need to be slaves in this world, because we've been set free by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if you've been born again tonight. If you've been saved, you're set free. He's pardoned us from all of our sins. And so therefore, Israel being in bondage, he called Moses. And Moses would be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. And we all know the story, and many of us known it as a child, but just for a quick glimpse back, we know that it come a time that Moses had gone before Pharaoh several times and said, "Let our people go. Let my people go. Thus saith the Lord, let them go and worship me in the wilderness." And of course, Pharaoh refused that. Pharaoh tonight is a type of the devil, of Satan. Excuse me tonight. And he wanted to keep them in bondage. And after several times, God said, "I'm going to judge him." And he said also unto Abram in Genesis chapter number 15, as a fulfillment of the scripture, that he would also bring judgment upon the one that brought bondage upon the nation of Israel, upon the seed of Abram. You can go back and study it and read it and find out in Genesis chapter number 15. And so therefore it came down to God saying, "I'm going to judge Egypt." And he instructed Moses and said, "I want you to tell the nation of Israel, tell the people," said, "I want you to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month and set it aside. Set it aside for 4 days. And on the 14th day, I want you to take that lamb or that goat," and said, "I want you to kill it. And I want you to roast it on the fire and eat it. But I want you to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and over the lintel. And he said at midnight, he said this, that the destroyer will pass over. God said, I will pass over. And the destroyer will pass over. And listen, my friend, it's exactly what the Word of God said. And I'm not going to belabor it because I want to get to the message that God put upon my heart. I want to say this tonight, that salvation is by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by the blood of bulls and goats that the Israelites had to practice, but it's by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very blood of God. Listen, my soul gets stirred tonight when I think about that. But as instructed by the Almighty God, the Israelites took the blood and they put it over the doorpost and or on the doorpost and over the lintel. And the scripture said this, that evening is when they struck the blood. And they at midnight, God said, is when the destroyer will pass over. So they all went inside their homes. And Moses said, don't anybody go outside their door. You and your family or every household where you've put the blood and applied the blood, said, stay inside there, because if you step outside that door, the blood, the covering shall not be over you, and the destroyer shall come and destroy every firstborn of every household that is there in the land of Egypt. And if you read that, you find out tonight from studying the Bible that at midnight that angel of God passed over. The God passed over every single household in the land of Egypt. And the scripture said this, that there was not one house of the land of Egypt, of the Egyptians, but what there was not a firstborn that died because the blood had not been applied. The scripture said this, that there was crying. And I could only imagine it. People woke up at all hours after midnight hearing the cries of the firstborn that had died. They were weeping and crying. And so therefore, they turned Israel loose and said, get out of here. Leave us. Get away. Aren't you glad tonight for the covering that we have as the children of God? May I say tonight, when the Son of God bowed his head and said it is finished and shed his blood and died upon the cross, listen, on that third day, the Son of God arose and our salvation plan was completed. The blood of the Son of God was taken up to the Father and sprinkled upon the mercy seat that is in heaven. And it's eternally there for anyone that wants to be saved by God's grace. I'm glad it's my shield tonight. Our sister was singing about the shield. The blood tonight is our shield against eternal damnation. And listen, I trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight with all of my soul. Listen, when Christ died, our Father, God the Father, smelled a sweet-smelling savor. He was satisfied. He said, Jesus said that he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied in that sacrifice. He was never satisfied in the Old Testament. All it done was push the sins back for a year, and that sin came up again. But thanks be unto God, when it's under the blood, that it's forgiven and eternally forgotten by our Heavenly Father. I can't understand and can't grasp that, because we serve an all-knowing God tonight that's eternal. I mean, there's no beginning and no ending of the God that we serve. Our preacher was talking this morning about looking up at those stars. And I remember when I first got saved, been saved just a few months, I laid down in the bed of a 2.5-ton truck while I was in the Army. And we was out on a mission out in the Army with the 105 howitzers. And listen, my friend, I sat there in that truck and I looked up at the stars, miles away from any city lights, miles out in the field. And we were riding in those trucks with just a little old blackout marker, just a little old small red light down in the bottom of the bumper there. We followed one another back in them winding roads back in the field to practice war missions. And I remember looking up into the stars. I've never seen so many stars in all my life. When I looked up in them stars, I thought the God that put them stars there is the one that just saved my soul. And oh, how great big God I serve tonight. Listen, there's none His equal, and there's nothing that can compare. Nothing in this world, nor the world to come, can compare with the God that I serve tonight. Listen, the Egyptians were tore up about their children dying. They got mad. They got angry. Said, why did we let them go? Why did we turn them loose? And said, let's gather together and let's go out after them. And this was the thought. God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. God put this in the mind of Pharaoh. He put it in his heart. This is authorized by the Almighty that Pharaoh would say this right here. Said the Pharaoh will say, the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. I was sitting several days ago studying the Bible, studying the Word of God, and I'm telling you, the Word of God began to speak to my soul, and the words of God began to burn in my heart. Oh, they got down deep inside of me. And the preacher, I know you know how this, every preacher in here knows that when you get a hold of God and the Word gets in your heart and it begins to burn inside your heart, you know that sometime you're going to be preaching soon. That happened to me on Tuesday morning. And I told Shelly, I said, man, I've been talking to God and reading His Word, and it just burnt inside my heart. I walked in Wednesday night, and Brother Lawson said, can you preach for me Sunday night? I said, yes, brother. I said, glory to God. I'm telling you, God put something in your heart in a preacher, and it burns like fire. You can't rest till you get it out. I'm telling you what, it's good. It's good, man. I'm telling you, it's real good. Listen, Pharaoh said, let's just get together. And he got together 60 of his choice chariots. And it said all the chariots of the land of Egypt, they all lined up, had all the chief captains with them. And there they took off into the wilderness and said, we're going to catch the children of Israel. And they caught them down right there next to that little old city that I can't even hardly pronounce. But the definition means this, just a little bit, a bunch of little gorges. A place, dear friend, right down there where the typhoons of the sea had come through and just washed out a bunch of gorges. And there was Israel. And they were standing there with the Red Sea in front of them. And behind them, they can hear the horses and they can hear the chariots. They can hear Pharaoh and his army coming. Have you ever found yourself in a place, dear friend, that you didn't know which way to turn? You didn't know which way to go, and you wonder, how am I going to make it through this? When we're looking with things right here, we see obstacles that's too big. As you all know, dear friends, and most of you here tonight know, I know that for the past several years, and the church has been through it, and I've been through it, and probably many of you, we've been through some tough times. I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife has gone through a tough time. And if it wasn't for the prayers of this church, we couldn't be standing here tonight. May I stop and say thank you for your prayers. And I want to say tonight that this church is our refuge. And if we just get a glimpse of anything that might be starting to hinder this place of refuge, it tears our soul up. We need to protect and allow the Spirit of God to freely move in this place, as He did here this morning. I'm hungry tonight for the Spirit of the power of the living God to fill this place, to fill my soul, and bless this church. I pray every single night that God would build a hedge about this place, build a fence here, and protect us from the wicked one, the evil, and from our pastor, protect him so that we might come in and hear the precious word of God preached in its power. Amen. I need him tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, there's been moments in me and my wife that we've hung on by just a thread. The scarlet thread that the preacher was preaching about a few weeks ago, that Rahab hung in the window. It's all because of Jesus tonight. It's not without hope. It's hard, it's tough, but listen, for we all face obstacles. And I don't know who in here tonight is going through a hard time, but I do know this, that God put this on my heart tonight. And somebody here tonight is struggling with some issues in your life, and you got the Red Sea in front of you. You got the devil following behind you, and you're sandwiched in between, and you don't know what to do. I'm telling you, it gets hard. Amen. It gets tough. And like Pastor Brother Barry, he's been the same way. Anybody in here tonight's a pastor, you visited. I've stood by the bedside of many a people that's left this world. And watch them leave here. Many. I've also stood at the graveside and preached funerals for those that had absolutely no hope at all. They seen their last glimpse of the one that they loved, and it was shut, never see their face again. I've watched them fall over on top of that box, that casket, and grab it and hug it, and that's all the hope that they have. I'm glad to report tonight that that's not all the hope I have. My hope is not in this world, but my hope is beyond this world. And it's in one that died for me and said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Glory to God, there's going to be a glad reunion day one day. One day, my friend, the sorrows of this old life, the heartaches, the troubles that we face. I love my pastor and I love his wife. I love his family. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm not trying to butter nobody up. But as we all get older, we start slowing down. I can't put my britches on without hanging on to something anymore. I'll fall over like a top, preacher. And that's what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm telling you, I take my glasses off, because it might be a blessing. For some, I can't see nobody's face. It's a blur. That's the truth. I want everybody to know tonight that I'm covered by the blood. I've gone through some things in my life that I've asked the question, what can I do? How am I going to get through this? I've been down in some dark valleys. I'm telling you, where's nothing but darkness. I'm talking about black. Didn't even know if I could get up and get out. It'd be so dark. I had people come and encourage me and try to help me. People pray with me, try to prod me and help me. I even got to the place one time, I got down on the floor and laid my head in my wife's lap, and I told her, I said, God has forgot that I even exist. I'm talking about a dark place. And it's hard to be there. But somebody got a hold of God. People prayed for me. I got a good brother right now. It's in heaven. Some of y'all know Brother Richard Hobbs. He called me 2 or 3 times a week. Said, hello, brother. Always with an uplifted voice. He said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And he said, listen, God's got your address. He knows where you live. Amen. Amen. Saying that over and over and over. Boy, God began to let that grow inside of me. God picked me up out of that hole that I was in. And I'm telling you, I was in some sinking mire. I was about to go down for the last time. I was about to drown because of the things of this world surrounding me. But thanks be unto God that my foundation's on a rock tonight. And he picked me up and stood me back up just like a little child back on the rock again. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time. I'm just wondering tonight that when the Israelites turned and they saw Pharaoh coming and they saw the Red Sea in front of them, the Bible said that they got sore afraid. I'm telling you, that means that they were literally shaken to the core. They were scared to death. Moses, it had been better for us to stay back in Egypt and be servants to them. What do you mean? They served in bitterness. It was hardship. They beat them with whips and made them serve. And they said, we'd rather be back there. Listen, I'm going to tell you tonight that the world has nothing for us tonight. Nothing to offer. And anything it has to offer us does nothing but take us down and drag us away from God. If you'll remember, the Bible said they came up with a mixed multitude. Caused trouble among the people. We don't need a yoke together with unbelievers. I've sat down and I've counseled many a young couple that want to get married. I just won't do it. First thing I ask them, young lady, have you been saved? Amen. Young man, have you been saved? You been born again? Do you know what that means? Yes. Either one of them said, I'm not, and the other one says they are. I just can't come to peace with myself to join that union together. Why, preacher? Because I know the possibilities that it may not work out. Brother Barry, I can go back and count. Just as a young preacher, that I stepped in and done what I thought was my duty to do as a preacher. And watched it crumble and fall apart. No longer married. Because one of them got the other one out. I remember my wife got saved before I did, about 1.5 years, I guess. I put her through hell on this earth. I drug her into places that she ought not have been in. She'd say, honey, them places to me are dark. It's black in there to me now. She prayed for me. My mom and my daddy prayed for me. Churches prayed for me. A year and a half after she got saved, you all know I got saved at a night watch service. I've never been the same since that day. I've done things that I shouldn't do. And I'm glad I got that still small voice inside of me, now, son. You know that that wasn't right. You know that wasn't. I just found out something just this past week, and Shelley told me this. I don't keep up with everything on politics, but can you believe that in California they had a law that you could go into the store and steal up to $900 worth of something from that merchant without even being prosecuted for it? Not even have to go to jail. That's that person that owns that business livelihood. That's wrong.
Yes, right.
That's not right.
No.
I'm thankful for the night that I got saved. Amen. I'm thankful for the night that I got born again.
Yeah.
And I studied in this scripture. And I could see the children of Israel as they were shaken. I'm telling you, they were shaken to the core. I'm sure they were jerking all over. Fear filled their hearts. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure there's some of you all sitting in here tonight that you've been filled with fear. I mean, fear just overwhelmed you, that when you laid your head on your pillow at night and closed your eyes, that your mind went just like a clock, just continuously. You couldn't sleep over and over. That mind just racing because of the fear that was inside of you. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't have a clue what tomorrow might bring for me. I'm not promised it. I know who holds tomorrow. What Moses said, God said, I want you to tell Israel to do this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. It's a glorious salvation. At midnight, that death angel passed over. Israel was outside the Red Sea there. Pharaoh and his armies had came against Israel, and the word of God said this. I read this and just about went sideways. I love this right here. In verse number 19 of the same chapter, it said, and the angel of God went before the camp of Israel. Look at this. Follow. Look at it close. Removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face. You remember when they come out of the land of Egypt? God led them by a pillar of cloud by day.
That's right.
And by night a pillar of fire.
That's right.
Well, they was there at the banks of the Red Sea. The angel of God, that pillar of cloud, went from before their face and went behind them. I'm going to tell you something. We're surrounded by God tonight. I'm telling you, He's all around us. He's everywhere. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. I'm telling you, you could travel as far as the east could take you, as far as the west could take you. I'm going to tell you, you can't get away from God. It moves. That's our shield. That sister sang that song. I sat there and I cried. And I said, thank God. That's my shield. He's my protector. He's the one that takes care of me. And listen, when he moved behind, they didn't have to turn and look. Now the Bible said this, that that cloud became darkness under the Egyptians. They could not look into the camp of the Israelites. and said, well, preacher, what did the Israelites do? The other side of the cloud brought light upon them. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. I believe that anything we face in this life, anything we go through in this life, that the answer for it is in the pages of God's infallible word. We just got to dig through and find it. Me and Shelly, we call each other mom and daddy. I don't know why. We just started doing that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's bringing us out. God's shining his light on us. Your prayers, my wife's doing better. Are we perfect? No. No. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody in this church, or many in this church, has been calling our names before God. And thank God he's starting to show some light upon us. You go through something like that, boy, it's hard on your joy. It's hard on your happiness. You get out away from God and you try to visit here, visit there. Listen, the grass ain't greener on the other side of the fence. I'm going to tell you something. We got a pastor tonight that's established in the Word of God. This church preaches the Word of God. It stands on the Word of God, the solid foundation. I don't know anywhere else to go. You look at what God's done in this church just in this past year. And I know, we know, we've talked about it, that God used something devastating in our life to bring us home again, preacher. Was it hard? Harder than I can even describe. And you don't know it unless you've gone through it. Don't tell me, brother, I know exactly how you feel unless you've been there. Because you don't. But God's bringing us out. The Holy Ghost has been moving upon us. And listen, when we come to church, we come here to feast. I don't come see what you wear, see how your hair is cut, how ugly or pretty are you got. I come here to hear the Word of God and get fed. It's my refuge. I need it. And this morning, I'm telling you what, that message stirred my soul. Stirred my soul. Brother Barry preached this message years ago. Old Big John would have us come in his study sometime and set us down and record. And I sat down there one time and Big John said, okay, I want you to preach a message. I said, John, I'm not even a preacher. I just got saved just about a year ago. I'm not even a preacher. Just preach it, son. That's what he'd do. So I tried to bring a message. It ain't there. It ain't there. And so Barry was sitting over there. Barry had already been saved and called to preach. And John said, Barry, you preach it. You preach. And Barry, I won't forget it. I remember what you preached right there in that little old studio room with one of them cassette tape recorders. Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. That moment's just a short period of time. It's just a moment. And his favor is life. Aren't you glad for that? He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night. And listen, that weeping's talking about deep sorrow and sore crying. Not just a little single tear pour down your face. I'm talking about deep crying out to God. There was some this morning crying out to God on this altar that needed help from God. That was sore crying. And I'm going to tell you something. God heard that, and he bottled them tears up. Amen. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What do you mean by that, preacher? Thank God the sun's going to arise again. It's not going to be dark forever, but the sun, S-O-N, shall rise. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. God burnt that in my heart. I don't know what you're going through. My wife can always tell when there's something wrong with me. She knows me better than I know myself. And then I know her. Make her mad, she goes to the bedroom and shuts the door. Sometimes that might be a good thing, Brother Barry. I'm just kidding. I'm talking about bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh tonight. Shelley said, if you talk bad about me, you're talking about yourself. But I do know this tonight, that our Heavenly Father, he's looking down tonight and he sees what's inside of you and the turmoil that you're going through. And listen, you might be a teenager, you might be a child, just a young child. I got to say this. Brother Goldman, it was looking a little bleak for a while, wasn't it? Y'all were going through a hard time. And I think about this, look what God's done. Look what God's done. I talked to that brother. You see something like that coming, you start setting some things in order. But now those things are canceled for the cancel. And listen, God can cancel it for you tonight. He can put that darkness out and he can put that light. Man, I'm telling you what, he can shine that shield of light upon you tonight, and you can walk out of here with a spring in your step and joy in your heart, and you can be praising God. I like it sometimes, just driving down the road and just get all tanked up with the Holy Ghost. Maybe hear something on the radio, a good gospel song, or just be meditating. We was driving the other day, and I think we was headed up to the marriage retreat or something like that. And Shelley said, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? You're awfully quiet. I said, I'm meditating on the Word. You get to meditating on that book right there, and I'm telling you, sometimes it'll get a hold of you, and all of a sudden that fountain begins to flow inside of you, and you have no control over that. And I'm telling you, all you can do is just let it out. Amen. God can do that for you tonight. Brother Barry, you come tonight in imitation of him. I preach what God put on my heart. I don't know your need, but I do know this, that I know a God tonight that can meet that need. He can do it for you. Let's everyone stand tonight. If God spoke to your heart at all, wouldn't drive you down here, wouldn't push you. But if you need to come and pray, you come tonight. Would you do that? What you got, Brother Barry?
Page 373.
373, pass me not. Would you right now? Don't put it off, not even a second. Just step out. Come on. Nobody think bad of you while we sing. Won't you do it right now? Why leave here miserable tonight? Don't do that. Leave here happy, would you? Come on, right now. While these are praying, you pray for them tonight. Would you do that? And if you need to come, come right now.